sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I'm Mark Crutcher, as you heard. And as you also heard, I'm joined by my worthy, what would you call you? Antagonist?
Antagonist.
Protagonist, whatever.
You would say antagonist. I would say protagonist.
Anyway, Sarah Waits is with me.
Hi, everybody.
She's lurking nearby, as always.
It's amazing I have time to get anything else done with all this lurking.
With all the lurking.
I supposedly do.
Right. We've got a really serious show to talk about today.
Aren't all of our shows kind of serious? I don't remember a laughing one that we really had.
No, we really haven't had a laugher. It's a pretty hard subject to have any humor about.
Yeah. But
anyway, we've seen another episode in England where the British government's basically murdering somebody.
Yeah. Well, they call it, quote, quote, nutrition and hydration being withdrawn, which if you take out the sanitized word of it, means they basically died of starvation and thirst.
They were starved to death.
For a week.
For a week. Right. And by the way, if you go online and you read about hard ways to die.
That's one of the worst.
Starving to death is one of the worst. Or dehydration. Either one of those two. And they did both of this guy.
The West, none of us have the right to call ourselves civilized. If we allow this to continue on and we make this legal, we cannot call ourselves civilized nation.
And let's make sure people understand something. These cases are in England, but this is the United States too. This is nothing that's not going on
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's happening and it's going to be more prevalent.
Whether you're talking about China or in this case England or any other country, there's nothing that any of these countries haven't done that we haven't eventually done.
Yeah.
And even if we're not doing them right now, which we are, but even if we're not, we will eventually get around to it because that's the natural progression of legalized abortion.
And it's always rationalized with the quote, quote, greater good, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you use that rationale, you could probably rationalize almost anything.
You can justify anything. In this case, this man was from Poland. He was living in England, had some physical problems, winds up in the hospital. They decide to starve him and dehydrate him to death.
Yep.
Polish government even said, we'll take him back, give him back to us.
They tried to bring him back to Poland for care. England said no.
Right.
They said it was better for the patient.
Right. He wouldn't want to live in this environment.
Basically, it's better for him to be starved to death than to have a care flight because, you know, health risk. This article that we're referencing to, there's a quote in here, and it said, how could anyone claim with the slightest degree of credibility that killing a human being slowly by hunger and thirst is in his, quote, quote, best interest? Could anybody ask for a better illustration of why the establishment is distrusted and despised by so many people today?
Right.
And I think that sums it up perfectly.
And we're seeing that right here. You know, all these liberal Democrats and these squishy, I won't use the word I normally assign to them when we're not on air, Republicans who are worthless. I won't use that term either. They're totally
worthless.
Mark,
you're just going to be saying anything over there because you're censoring yourself.
Clean up my language a little bit.
10 minutes later, he gets out.
But these
out of
worthless
order.
Republicans and spineless, gutless Republicans, this is all the stuff that's going on here, and they're defending it.
Yeah.
But in the case of Charlie Gard, this was a little baby that had some health problems.
He was diagnosed with a rare disease called, and of course, I'm not a doctor here, so I'm going to butcher this horribly. Encephalopathic mitochondrial DNA depletion syndrome, MDDS.
Now, I remember at the time that there were doctors here in the United States who were saying this was treatable.
Well, they weren't saying it was treatable because it's such a rare thing that there's not many treatment plans, but there was an experimental treatment going on here in the United States that the parents wanted to get him on,
right.
And they even went on GoFundMe, raised the funds to do this. So theoretically, there shouldn't have been any sort of barrier.
And the American government was willing to let him in and give this little baby the best shot he had.
Even the Vatican offered to take over care.
Right. The British said no.
Yep.
We want to kill him. And you've got the situation with Alfie. I can't remember the last name.
Alfie Evans in 2018. He was a baby who was admitted to the hospital at 7 months old after suffering seizures. And the thing about this situation that was, I guess, kind of interesting, the articles that I read said that the doctors were unable to diagnose a specific illness or disease, but declared him to have a degenerative neurological condition and basically that he would die. That was basically their thing.
So let's kill him.
In all these cases that we see time after time, the doctors say, we're going to withdraw care. The parents try to fight back. British High Court says, nope, the child is going to die.
Right.
And that happened with Alfie Evans, Isaiah Hastrop, Charlie Gard. It's the same thing over and over.
Now, one of the things this does is it exposes the bald-faced lie that people who defend these things have always said, which was, do we want to go off and spend millions of dollars on this quixotic effort mm-hmm. to save a child who's doomed or to save an adult who's doomed? That's off the table now mm-hmm. because you have other countries saying, you don't have to spend a penny. Just turn him over to us. We'll absorb all the costs. Mm-hmm. So the costs are off the table. It has nothing to do. These people are pro-death. That's what they're about.
It's about, even if they get over this hump, what will the burden be on our country down the road? And we have an idea of who we want to support. It all goes back to this ideal child, right? The perfect child. It's making the next generation the image that we think that they should be.
Right.
Physically.
And we use this nonsense of we're going to kill them for their own good. We're not putting them out of their misery. We're putting them out of our misery. And it's like Down syndrome, where you have 95, 96, 97% of all Down syndrome babies executed in the womb. And people say, oh, we're doing it for their own good. No, you're not.
No.
You're doing it for your good.
Yeah. In the case of Charlie Gard, one of the last things is that the parents wanted him to be able to pass at home, since they weren't going to let him take him out of the country.
Right.
And the hospital said, no, we're not going to do anything for him, but no, you can't take him home.
Can't take him home and let him die in his own home.
Mm-mm. People look at these cases from England and Europe because this is a lot more prevalent over there, and they think, well, this won't come to the United States, or we're not going to do that thing here. In 2015, we did an interview on our show Life Talk with the parents of Simon Crozier, and I'm probably pronouncing the last name wrong. At a 20-week ultrasound, the doctors thought they detected a cleft lip, which could be an indication of several different things, including trisomy 18. They wanted to do genetic testing. Parents said no. If anything was wrong with their child, they were going to bring it to term. They were never going to abort it. At birth, Simon was diagnosed with trisomy 18. As soon as he was diagnosed, the doctor's care started to dwindle. His mother, who we interviewed, said that's when it all started, when he was labeled, which transferred to them as incompatible with life. So his care and treatment changed dramatically after his diagnosis. They weren't feeding him. And when she fought to have them feed her her breast milk, they said they put the least amount of breast milk through his NG tube. On December 3rd, Simon's oxygen saturations began to fall. We were told, this is the end, nothing could be done. Imagine watching your child take their last breaths, his oxygen saturation levels plummet, and the medical professionals do nothing. Later we found out there was a DNR in his medical file, which explains why the medical professionals stood around and did nothing. If Simon was a healthy 3-month-old, it would have been an ER moment with people running to save my child. But because he was a child with chromosomal abnormalities, no one in the NICU did a thing.
Right. Well, as far as this statement of imagine what it's like to watch your child, yeah. I don't have to imagine. I went through that. My wife and I had a little daughter, Jackie, that was born with a condition called Meckel-Gruber syndrome, and she died. And we were holding her mm-hmm. when she took her final breath. So I don't have to imagine. I know.
Yeah.
And I can tell you there's no feeling on earth like that feeling. I mean, you feel immeasurably sad.
Powerless.
Totally powerless. You can't do anything. You know, you're sitting there thinking, let's do something. And we had doctors that I think were heroic in trying to do what they could. The only thing that would make this worse is if they're all just standing around with their arms crossed watching it happen.
Waiting to do the time of death, just sitting there looking at their watches, basically. But that's a real case in the United States, similar to the things that we're seeing in Britain. The only difference is there's no court order.
There's two things about this that are important. First off, you know, when we did the Moffa 21 and it's talking about eugenics and mm-hmm. genocide and all those, there were people who said, look, eugenics is yesterday's news. There's no eugenicist
anymore. No, it's not.
Eugenics has made a major comeback.
Eugenics has been kind of like the hibernating bear.
Yeah.
In the 1950s, people saw where eugenics was headed because that's the natural evolution of it.
Yep.
And they were disgusted and didn't want any part of it.
It
went into hibernation.
Well, I mean, it went away publicly.
They stuffed it on a shelf and gradually started introducing eugenics principles back into the public, introducing terms such as positive selection. That is eugenics.
Right.
That's eugenics, pure and simple.
Well, you had a perfect real-world example of that we all saw just a few years ago.
Yeah, so I don't remember how many people remember the hearings that had come up after Obamacare was passed and the words of Jonathan Gruber.
Right.
You want to fill people in on who Jonathan Gruber was?
Yeah, he was one of the people who were called the architects of Obamacare.
Well, he was the one who was caught on tape saying that administration insiders knew they had to lie about Obamacare in order to get it passed. And that he was saying things that basically implied that the American people were too stupid to know what was good for them.
Right.
And so the intellectual elites had to step in and protect us from ourselves.
Right.
Well, during this hearing, Kentucky Representatives Thomas Massey asked him some questions about a paper that he had written called Abortion Legalization and Child Living Circumstances, Who Was the Marginal Child? Gruber's position in this paper was that legalized abortion has saved an estimated $1.6 billion per year from, quote, quote, positive selection, and it has allowed our country to kill off the poor and thereby provided a higher quality of life to those of us who are still living. Sounds eerie like a defense of eugenics, right? He described the victims of abortion as marginal children.
Now, can you tell me a definition of a marginal child?
I can't, but to them, basically, it's children they're willing to write off in
order
to justify their
agenda.
Yeah,
we're not bright enough like they are to come up with a definition of marginal child.
To them, it's the children who they deem are unworthy of living.
Right.
That to them is the marginal child.
Right.
And I would take a bet and say that it's probably none of their children are considered marginal children, just the rest of us.
Right, right.
But anyway, so Representative Massey kept on trying to get him to talk about positive selection. And what does this mean? And he refused to answer the question. Why? Because that's eugenics. And they know that they're in a losing battle talking openly about eugenics with anybody. And so Massey says, so my question is to you, is your philosophy on abortion that it can save money and improve outcomes have any implications in the realm with end-of-life care? You argue that abortions to the poor children raise the average living circumstances in your paper for the rest of us and save the government money. So, Dr. Gruber, if there are fewer elderly people, particularly poor elderly people, wouldn't that save us a ton of money too? And do you understand the dangerous implications of going down this path?
Yeah, and that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
Especially when you have government health care.
When you give someone the power to pay for something, you're also giving them the choice of what they're going to pay for. It's
not
like parents.
For it. Right.
Or yeah, they pay for your health care, but they decide what health care you get and when it's cut off.
And most important, what health care you don't get.
Right? Yeah.
So again, we go back to this issue that everybody thinks that eugenics is something that happened hundreds of years ago.
That it's some antiquated notion in history that'll never come back.
But let me tell you something. If you study this issue, or if you're involved in it like we are, you see the same names start popping up. Bill and Melinda Gates.
Yep.
These people are eugenicists. Mm-hmm. George Soros, Ted Turner, Warren Buffett. All of these people that have billions of dollars. And if you listen to what they say, and if you just keep your mind open and translate what they're saying into real words, and get past all this false compassion that they claim that they're doing all these things for, these people see the world as their playground. It belongs to them.
Yeah.
And the rest of us, you and I, are only valuable as long as we're the servile class.
As long as we're producing something for them.
From them that they profit from. But other than that, if we're not that, then we are what the Nazis called useless eaters. That was their view of it.
Well, socialism is all about what each citizen is bringing to the table. Same thing with communism is you are expected to produce and your value is based on how much you produce.
And now we've elected communists to run our country. And they're installing more communists in all the positions of power in this country. We're living in very dark times. This is a very dangerous environment that we're living in. And I see it getting even more dangerous if we don't bring an end to it. Yeah. And let me tell you something.
Eugenics does not have any happy outcome.
Never has had.
Mm-mm.
It only has a good outcome for the people at the top. It's like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about these things, about what you're going to study, where you're going to live, because the government provides it. But you're all living in really poor conditions while there's a fat cat on top who's doing just
like
fine.
Like I said, it's a pyramid scheme. It's like a Ponzi scheme. We put people in prison. That's what Bernie Madoff went to prison for. He created this Ponzi scheme. Well, Ponzi schemes, or a pyramid scheme, they're sometimes called, they furnish the top people with a lavish lifestyle that there's no way they could ever dream of having.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's based on the fact that the people at the bottom will lose everything that they have to feed the pyramid.
What was it Margaret Thatcher said about socialism? The problem with it is that you eventually run out of other people's money.
Right. That's exactly right. It goes to a certain select group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been true.
Then you start having to allocating resources and pick and choose who gets what. And then that's based on how much you provide, right? Because you want to give your top people who are bringing the most in the best rewards.
Right. If we think that eugenics is old, believe me, it's not. Mm-hmm. The people I just named, the Bill and Melinda Gates, George Soros, Ted Turner, Warren Buffett, just go on down the line.
Mm-hmm.
These people are as committed to the eugenics philosophy as was Francis Galton, the guy who invented the term eugenics, and his cousin, Charles Darwin. They were eugenicists, both of them totally committed to the whole idea of eliminating, in their case, Darwin openly stated, that the way you advance humankind is to widen the gap between the lowest form of human life, in their view, blacks and aborigines, and the highest form of primates, the gorilla. The wider you make that gap, the better human life is. Well, the way you do that is by killing off the people at the low end. That was their solution. That was Charles Darwin's idea, and Francis Galton put it into practice. They were cousins. These people are following that model. They would never come on a show like this or any other show and say that's what they're doing.
It's like Jonathan Gruber, when he was asked about positive selection, he wouldn't talk about what positive selection was, even though it's a really easy answer.
Right.
He didn't want to answer it, because the moment you start saying what positive selection is, the moment people say, what in the world are we supporting?
Well, it's still not that far away from World War II that we can't look and say, wait a minute, that's what the Nazis were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to create the super race by getting rid of the people at the bottom, which they considered to be Jews and Slavs and blacks. And
people who were disabled.
Right. Well, that was the first people they targeted, was the disabled.
Yeah.
So this is where we are as a nation. And I want to, again, go back to the same thing that we said a moment ago. And that is that this is a natural outgrowth of legalized abortion, because you have established a principle now that you will kill living human beings. Understand something. The abortion industry today no longer even denies that the unborn child is a living human being.
Mm-hmm.
They'll concede that to you.
But then they'll say, but.
But.
Dot, dot, dot.
The connecting word there is but.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll give you the greater good argument.
Yep.
That's eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
And these people would never agree that they're eugenicists. But that doesn't change something. It's like saying, if you accuse somebody of being a member of the Klan and they're a hardcore racist, they say, I'm not a member of the Klan. You can't show any place where I'm a member of the Klan. Okay, maybe you're not technically a member of the Klan, just like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are technically members of the Communist Party, but they're communist.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing here. So you don't have to say that you support eugenics or that you're a eugenicist or whatever. Let's just look at your actions and what you're calling for.
You know, there's this quote in that National Right to Life article that said, the routine abortion of 90% of babies with Down syndrome, the pressure to legalize euthanasia despite its abuse in Belgium and the Netherlands, all these things are the symptoms of the return, even the triumph, in British society of the loathsome cult of eugenics.
Right. That's where we are. And we're right there with them. There's nothing that's ever been done by any country that legalized abortion that hasn't eventually come here.
And there's a point I want to make here. When we study in history past civilizations and talk about their barbarism, meanwhile, we're in a nation that has butchered 65 million babies in the womb.
Right.
Child sacrifice is legal and it happens right here.
It's alive and well right here.
And there's another quote in this article that I really want to mention here. It says, society is slipping back into old habits of barbarism, often disguised as new progressive expressions of compassion. Civilization will only learn by the bitter experience of reliving history that ethics are not an adequate substitute for morals.
Always be suspicious of people who say they have nothing but your best interest at heart. Always be suspicious.
Strangers who have no emotional connection to you.
Yeah, I'm not talking about your parents or I'm saying when you have people in the political realm or in the cultural realm who say, oh, we have nothing but your best interest at heart, be very, very wary of that person. Watch what they're doing.
But this is old barbarism, nothing new under the sun, right? This is old barbarism passed off as new and quote, quote, civilized.
Right,
and
progressive.
Progressive ideas.
Forward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they've just repackaged it.
Yeah.
But eugenics is alive and well, and we need to keep making this point because this thing is going to overwhelm us at some point.
It's like that case that I was showing you in the United States of Simon Crozier. If you think that this stuff is not happening here or is not going to come here, you're dreaming.
Oh, we've seen it right here in Texas.
Yeah.
Down in Houston where they had the baby that the parents wanted medical treatment for, and the hospital said, no, we're not going to treat this baby, and the baby's going to die, and that's just the way it is.
And again, that was just private healthcare system that was not the government saying, no, we are going to discontinue treatment. Yes, we're going to starve them, and no, there's nothing that you can do about it, so just sit right down over here and stay quiet.
And that's where we're headed. Anyway,
I want to direct people to check out our documentary, MAFA 21. It talks about eugenics, and if you are interested in any of the stories that we talked about here, I will provide links to the different things in the description.
Yeah, and get all your friends to listen to the show. I think this is maybe the most important show we've done so far, because it really shows the moral decay that abortion brings upon a country, and that's where we are.
Well, and we did another episode not too long ago talking about eugenics, specifically in the cases of like Down syndrome and disability. I'll put the link to that in the description if people want to continue listening on. But this is really important. I have seen so many cases in books and news articles and of these people who are talking about how Charles Darwin was misunderstood and bringing up these little notions of eugenics and repackaging them and trying to make them sound nice and idealistic. And it's disturbing to me that people are buying this.
Yeah, they're falling. People are stupid enough to fall for it.
Like I said, eugenics has no happy ending. Yeah. And eugenics is arrogant because it says that these people over here are better than these are over here. They're more entitled to rights than these people over here. And that they know what's best for everybody else.
Well, it's a survival of the fittest concept. And if you say, well, what separates man from beast and animals? Well, we don't operate on the survival of the fittest. Oh, but we do.
Actually, there's cases now where you're seeing that animals are showing more compassion and love for their young and caring more for their young
absolutely
than even some mothers today.
Right. Yeah, well, we've talked about that before, how abortion has had an enormously detrimental effect on maternal instincts.
And we should do another episode on that at some point.
Yes, we do need to. And we're seeing more and more evidence of that. It's growing and growing. We've had, I think I told you, a personal experience just in the last few days with someone who's kind of become the victim of that. We'll talk about that on a future show. But anyway, that's all that we have for right now. It's all I have. You got anything else?
Just if you have any questions about what we discussed, or if there's something you think you want us to answer, something you don't understand about the abortion issue, go to lifedynamics.com/podcast. We have a form right there on the page where you could submit your questions. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. And then there's a button on the episode page. Make sure you do a review of a rating
of
the show.
All that stuff helps us.
Yeah.
And speaking of helping us, we continue to struggle with financial issues. Over the last year or so, we have been the victim of some almost indescribable things.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. We've had our mail stolen.
The post office sending our mail back.
Yeah.
COVID has knocked us in the head.
Yeah.
So if you want to see the show continue and the sort of things that Life Dynamics does, and we've got some things planned for the future, question is, will we have the financial resources to do it or not? So please consider us.
Yeah, please donate. We'll have a link to that. And
when you're writing out your checks for all your bills this month, just remember Life Dynamics. We're your buddies.
Well, and I'd like to point out every penny
dime helps.
Even if it's $1 or 50 cents that you can donate.
Yeah.
Every bit is appreciated.
Right. Just do what you can. That's you know, that's all we're asking, and that we need to get the help to get back up on our financial feet. It's been a really tough year for us. It's been a tough year for everybody in the pro-life and the Christian movement because of COVID destroying the sacrificial giving that people can do. It's hard to get people to give money when they're not sure they're going to have a job next week.
Yeah.
And they got a family to feed. So we understand all of that. But the fact is, babies are dying.
And if you're on the fence about donating to us, you can always go to check out our reports and projects and see the other things that we've done.
Right.
And then decide
and continue
from there.
To do. Mm-hmm. Right. So anyway, thank you for joining us, and we will look forward to seeing you next Thursday. In the meantime, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.